the starting line marks the beginning of something new. All the preparation, all the predictions lead us here to see if history can be made, to see if the future can be transformed. But let's go to another starting line. Not found in stadiums with crowds cheering on, not surrounded by thousands waiting for the starting gun. This starting line takes us beyond winning and losing, beyond human striving, beyond human glory. This starting line is found here, in a quiet, makeshift stable that invites the whole world to see the birth of a child who will change the world. This starting line is a line in time, a starting line, a finishing line. It's the birth of the one true king. God himself enters our world on a rescue mission to bring us new life. It's where the divine became human, where God made himself visible and invites us back to him. This is the starting line we come to every year, where the one who made you, who knows you, who loves you, comes to offer you a new beginning. Come and see. Come and follow him.
Really, really good film. But when you watch it, don't you feel like some of you are going, I forgot what it's put, I don't put my kit in anymore, let alone go for a run. Obviously, some of you, there's a lot of pros watching, you'll be in a hotel tonight getting ready for the game. Come with me for a bit, in these few minutes, from your stadium to the stable. Because the thing is, if you ever think about the Christmas story properly, you've got to view it from a certain starting point. Think of the shepherds. They're the people in the story we're looking at tonight. They've got a job. They look after the sheep. And they get a message and says, go to the stable. They go to the stable. The wise men come from somewhere. They go to the stable. You and me, we're sports people. We come from our clubs to the stable tonight. So that's what we're doing with the Christmas story. So I think there's probably three questions worth asking. I'm going to ask two of them now. Here's a couple of lines from one of the four accounts of the life of Jesus about the message the shepherds are given. They say, go to a stable because this is what you're going to find. Here's what they're told. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Have a look at those lines. Get into the story. Come with me to the manger. Come on, we're in, we're in, we're in. Here's the first question. Who was the baby? Who was Jesus? Look at that line. Today, in the town of David, that's Bethlehem or Jerusalem, next door, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. See that word? The Lord. Lord means God. Now, get this. You might be used to this line, but get this. The baby in the cowshed is God. Right? You might say, Christmas card story, fairy tale made up. There's one big word you've got to look at. Look at it there today. This happened in space and time. Google it now. Check the histories. Nobody ever doubted that Jesus was born, lived, and died on a Roman cross. Nobody in history doubts it. It's a fact. Here's the question. Do you find God by being mega clever in all the libraries of the world, spending hours on your own meditating to find the true meaning of life? Or are you being a bit of a fool if you do that? Because really, all you've got to do is go to Jesus, and that's where you'll see God. That's the heart of the Christmas story. God comes to us and says, I'm here. Here I am. You want to know me? Here I am. Now, you've got to think about that when you come with me from your club to the stable this evening. What do you think? Who was Jesus? Was he really God? Well, there's no historical dispute about him. So I put it to you that the answer from the stable is God exists, and you can meet him when you meet Jesus. Right, see, this is a simple talk. That's the first point. Who was Jesus? All right, just as briefly, the second point. So what, you say? I'm buying it. There is a God. He really exists. It's not a game. It's not plays. It's true. And all right, he's in Jesus. If you know Jesus, you know God. Good, Graham. So what? And bothered? Let's see the second thing. Look at those lines again. Today, in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. See that word? A Saviour. Why did Jesus come? He's a Saviour. But wait, if you say the word Saviour, that's like a rescue word, right? Saved from the waves, pulled out of the sea. Really serious. Saved from the virus, inoculation. Really serious. Saved from the English. It's a rescue word. You got saved from something. What did God come into the stable to save us from? Because to be saved basically means you're in bother, right? Here's the thing. Jesus goes on to teach as an adult that what you're saved from is being a rebel. Now, you won't like this, but it may just be, well, I put the finger on the pulse, that you actually get something fresh. God made you, and he made you to put him first, not second, third, fifth, tenth, not politely ignoring him or rudely ignoring him. It's saying to God, listen, it's my life, mate. I'll do what I like with it. Don't bother me. If I want to do things, I'll do them. Don't you get in my way. But God, no, the Bible is really clear. God is fair and just. And if you want to disrespect him, then when the day comes when you leave this world, you'll meet him, says the Bible, and justice will be done. Death will be the end of it. There's a judgment to come. And God will reject you if you reject him. And I know you didn't come for the big online sports night out to hear that. But don't run yet. Don't run yet. Because here's why the stable counts. The stable counts because the baby born in the stable is the baby who goes on 30 years later to die on a cross. And he dies on the cross. This is the business, right? He dies on the cross because God's love is as great as God's need to act with justice. And the two meet because the baby comes to pay the price for your rebellion and mine by dying in our place and taking the punishment we deserve. What? You see, the story's not just a game. It's not like Christmas time and carol services and donkeys and animals and school. No. Who was Jesus? God came to us, and you can meet God in Jesus. Why did he come? He came to die for rebels. He came to be the Savior for people like you and me because he loved us and he paid the penalty. Jesus became our Savior. Right, that's it. That's two of the bits of the three I wanted to talk to you about. When we say, what's going on when you go to that stable? Now, for a minute, let's get out of the stable. Let's get back to the sports world. And let's meet somebody who's been to the stable, knows who Jesus is, and lives with him in everyday life. Reedy, back to you. Let's hear from Wiz.
Thanks, Dano. I've got, as we said earlier, Wiz Chambers with me. Wiz played junior international hockey for England for 6 years, followed by 10 years playing in the Premier Division, winning multiple indoor, outdoor titles and European gold with Reading Hockey Club. She's now married with an 18-month-year-old son and playing hockey again with Henley Hockey Club. Wiz, thanks so much for joining us. We've just heard Dano talk about going from the stadium to the stable. Why don't you tell us about when you first began to see that God was real?
My parents are Christians, so I went to church as much as I could around hockey matches. But it was probably, I'd say, our Sunday evening church youth group, where I was really introduced to Jesus through the Bible studies that we did each week. we'll just look at his life and the impact he had. And it was just amazing to see this guy who just, he wasn't just compassionate. He wasn't just fair and wise. I love that he didn't pander to all the religious leaders. I loved that he just loved those who were on the edge of the society at the time. But the thing that really struck me was that he led with this authority, and that was the authority of God. He wasn't just this amazing man. He was God himself with all the authority that brought.
As you've talked about there, you've begun to see and you believe that God is real. He's there with you. You then begin to see that he's your savior. How did that happen? How did that thinking go about in your head?
Yeah, so then I left home to go to university. I went off to Loughborough University. And then I think I just got completely absorbed into the university life and all that that brings with it. Soon after I graduated, I was 21. My dad was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And 3 months after we found out, he passed away. So it was very quick and a really... really, really hard time. We had a very special relationship, like I do with my mum. We spent a lot of time in the car together, driving across the countries to different matches. And he was always there. He just always make an effort to come and watch. So when that happened, it was really hard. And I think it was that period of my life when life and death was really brought into focus for me. I know it sounds silly. We all know we're going to die, but it was the first time I'd really realized that people around me that I loved that I was going to die. And probably the first time that reality that Jesus had died for me, that actual kind of reality hit me. Dad had a very strong faith. And I remember my mum saying to me right at the very end that Dad said that he wasn't scared of death. Which was just incredible to hear. And he said he wasn't scared because he knew the big man was going to be there waiting for him. And I remember just thinking to myself, I want to be that confident in the face of death. Like it's easy for me to sit here as a 33-year-old fit and healthy person, but to be able to be in the situation that my dad was, when he knew that he only had hours to maybe days to live, he knew that, but he could still say that he was confident of death because Jesus is going to be there. And I just wanted that confidence. And I just wanted to know that Jesus, the big man, was going to be waiting there for me. So I think that was a real turning point in my journey. I think it was a time where I just really wanted to rebuild a relationship with Jesus. And it's been a journey since then. But I think, that was a real turning point for me.
Thanks so much for sharing that. Hopefully it's really helpful if you're listening now, just to think about these things. Before we go, Wiz, he's about to tell us a slight spoiler. He's about to tell us how Jesus is the king of our lives, the king of your life, your leader, your ruler. Can you show us what's it been like for you to understand that and to live with that, with Jesus as the leader of your life?
I think it gives me a lot of comfort and a lot of peace, not just that he's in control of the sport aspect of my life, but in all aspects of my life, the small bits and the huge bits, he's in control as my leader, because I completely trust him. And when you completely trust someone, it's so liberating. And because he's in control of all of my life, that's even more liberating. And I think that's true through my hockey career as well. I started playing, it brought into the England system when I was 15 through to when I was 21. So it was an absolutely massive part of my life. And being totally honest, I think being and people knowing that I was a good hockey player probably fed a lot of my self-esteem and of who I thought I was looking back now. And I came to the end of that, to the end of the junior program when I was 21, haven't been in it since 15. You got to 21 and either you were good enough or you weren't. And I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough to take that step. So after 6 years of my life revolving around this program that I was in, suddenly gone. It was just like a complete void. It was like you'd just fallen off the significance for this kind of this world. I know that Jesus is a leader who's completely for me and wants the best for me. So in that situation and in other situations like this, even though I might be sad and not understand the decisions, why he's brought me on this journey for 6 years to then not to progress any further, I know that that's the best thing for me, because he promises in the Bible that he is a leader who will fulfill his perfect plan in my life. And because I trust him wholeheartedly, even though I might not understand every decision, because I trust him, that brings me so much peace.
Wiz, thanks so much. Dano, let's head back to you. Let's have the last part of our story. We've seen how Jesus is God and Savior. Let's see how he's our King.
Oh, Wiz has done the job, hasn't she? Fantastic, Wiz. Amazing that, isn't it? She was top drawer, right? Her CV, 10 years for the best club in hockey in this country. And still, it always comes to an end, because we know sport, don't we? We just know it can't always go your way. It's like four funerals and a wedding, not the other way around. That sport, however good you are. She's answered it really. What does Jesus want from me is the third question. What does he want from me? In the line that we've got to read from the story of Christmas, we have these words. Today, in the town of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. The Messiah is not a word we use anymore. Well, we do in sport, don't we? The Messiah saved us. So it's not bad. The Messiah is the ruler, the king, the boss, in charge, God authority. That's a Messiah. Jesus wants to be the leader, have authority in your life. That's what the stable teaches us. And here's the question to end with, you see. Why would you accept his leadership in your life? So what? God is seen in Jesus, so there's really a God in space and time, and we can know who he is. Right? Great. So we know who God is. What has he done? Saved us from a judgment to come when we leave this world, out of unbelievable love. So why accept his leadership? Is that enough? Do we just cling on by our fingertips? Do you say, oh, thank goodness Jesus died for me, loves me, I'll cling on till I die and meet him? Will it be a miserable, grumpy, boring, dull as ditch water, hopelessly rubbish life? No, 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 never. If Jesus is your leader, he's the best leader you could ever dream of having. He died for you, and then he smashes death, and then he comes to live in you if you ask him into his life, into your life. If you ask him to be your God, your Savior, and your leader, it's a revolution. Oh, it doesn't mean times don't get tough and rough, because that, sadly, is the human condition. But in it, he never leaves you. He is for you, good times and bad times, with you always. Never lets you down. To have Jesus as leader is to have a purpose for life which knows who's in charge. It's to know you're safe in his hands. It's to know he gives you fulfillment when everything else disappears. You heard that so clearly in Wiz's story as she talked about her dad's certainty and the family's certainty, even in the face of death. No. Don't ever dare think of Jesus' leadership as anything other than magnificent and greater than the greatest leader you've ever known in your life. Well, that's us done on this little section. So time for you now, in a minute, to leave the stable. Go back. You're with your family watching. You're with your friends. You're with your teammates from the sports club. We're back in the sports stadium now. We're going to give you 5 minutes. We'll put a countdown clock on. Do what you've got to do within reason. But if you're sitting around for 5 minutes before we give you the answers to the Christmas quiz, here's a couple of questions if you're on your own. Have a think about these. Which of these questions at the heart of the Christian story gets your attention, really gets your attention, as you've heard it tonight? And maybe ask yourself why. Who was Jesus? Why did he come? What does he want from me? Which of those grabs your attention? See you in 5 minutes, and we'll see if you're any good at the quiz.